they could have easily have called this movie instead, "Do not speak to me of dot, dot, dot." I mean, how many times do characters say that this film? "Do not speak to me of, hey guys, we're going to get Thorne that as a t-shirt for his birthday."
"Do not speak to me of ending this franchise."
Right? "Do not speak to me of the third film in giant fantasy epic franchises because Return of the King was better."
It's like, I'm sorry, I can't hear any of y'all over the sound of their cash registers just clicking.
Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Yeah, I mean, even Peter Jackson going, "Look, guys, the Tolkien estate's not going to let us have access to the rest of the material, so we couldn't possibly do another film." Yeah, I'm not really sure that's true.
We'll see what the country of New Zealand has to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is like half of our economy right now.
just film more scenes of them trying to put stuff into a pipe and smoke it. Like,
right?
Yeah. So that was a necessary scene.
The Cheech and Chong of the Shire is what you're advocating.
They'll just do a whole series about like two very minor characters that appear in these films and their goofy adventures during the background.
Wacky adventures.
It'll be the Rosencrantz.
The Rosencrantz and Guildenstern films.
That actually would be really good.
Anyway, we are reviewing The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies, and we've got the whole crew here. I'm Chris.
JC.
Elliot.
Ed.
Diva.
And Michael.
And Brian is out of town, unfortunately, or he'd be here too, and then the whole thing would probably capsize and sink.
But. Well, I thought Brian was like just lying in a pile of VHS tapes like Smaug.
Yeah, right? He does think he's Benedict Cumberbatch sometimes. You catch him on his off
if
days.
Only.
But yeah, this is like, I mean, I think I can safely say that at least generally speaking, this prequels, they're not really prequels, I guess. It's hard to say because the book came out first, but they're, it's very confusing. But the films that take place before the films that were already made, I gotta say, I don't think that these are generally as well received as the original film. Certainly not in my book. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
It's the sort of thing where, like, I can remember Return of the King at award season, just kind of gathering up all the awards when the C Academy Awards eventually happened. You don't get that kind of sense from this one. It's just we've seen it before. What else you got, Peter?
Right, and that was like more of a everyone sort of acknowledged at the time. Those were more like, wow, spectacular job making those three movies. They didn't even really feel like they were specifically.
And it was probably a sense
of
we'll never see anything like this again.
Yeah, and now this feels like.
But wait, there's more.
Well, we're not seeing anything like it again.
And the series feels a lot like, okay, yeah, we can do it again, guys. We can do it again,
and
but
we
it's
can
like
do it. Cheaper with computers.
Exactly. We can do it cheaper. And we we're naturals at this now, so we don't have to pay as much attention to the tiny little details. And
well, The Lord of the Rings had more story. And one is this third movie. I mean, I absolutely adored it because I'm a hardcore fan, but there wasn't enough story, and so they made up for it in just tons and tons of action.
Sure.
So it turns into a weaker film.
Yeah. I mean, through all three of these, there's a lot of stretch.
Yes.
Which is not, once again, I'm with you in that I really enjoyed the hell out of this film, too, Diva. I enjoy all three of these films, but there's not one of them that's as good as the previous three. Once again, people are going to get sick of me constantly harping on that.
All three of these are better than Fellowship.
What?
No, that's the best of the six.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
No, I'm boring. I fall asleep every time.
You are going to be the Boromir of this conversation,
seriously.
Sir.
I'm a black guy. I usually am.
I'm sharing a couch with a heretic.
Yeah. The Sean Bean of the group.
And you won't get indicted.
This one had a scene where Bilbo literally goes, so I just stand here?
Right.
Yeah. Is this a good place to stay?
Where do I stand?
I think that the one of the biggest flaws with this movie that I think they really managed to do a good job with toward the end is that there's just an obscene amount of characters and moving parts that we're supposed to remember and care about.
Yeah. And they keep adding new ones that weren't even in the book.
Right. And I think that a strength of the film is that they utilize all the characters and go, okay, listen, we can't possibly make all of them important, but we can sure make them fight.
True.
In different parts of this battle. And I think that, like you were saying, there's a lot of action.
It's 90% war scenes, this film.
Yeah.
It's a lot of war
scenes. It is, but I feel like they did a better job of showing the different parts of the war than... And here comes my bit of heresy where I'm a little bit on Elliot's team. I liked the war in this movie better than I liked the war in Return of the King.
Huh?
Wow.
We're all looking at you funny.
That's okay. This one see, definitely had way less of a Deus Ex Machina feel, which I'm going to like go on record as the worst part of that whole movie.
I completely disagree because you got you got these huge armies coming.
I just tried to side with you.
There's no loyalty.
He's like, you knew I was a scorpion when you jumped on my back.
No, but like they have these huge armies and these huge battles. And at one point, you got 12 people just charging out like they're the fucking 300. I'm like, do you see how many people there are?
Yeah, there's that funny
part.
But
he's the king.
He's a mortal person.
They're rallying to the king.
That's the thing. Is the story here, of course, like the last one ends with like, oh, Smog, he's coming out, everybody's fucked, which is like 5 minutes of this film.
Right.
I'm like, Smog, oh, I'm tough. Oh, crap, you found my fatal flaw.
That felt like a dragon cameo.
You know how,
Is Sean Connery still working?
Right, yeah.
At the end of The Return of the King, like, it's a thing. I mean, it's been a thing for years where everyone makes fun of how it has like 12 endings, right?
Yeah,
sure.
This entire movie is like 12 endings after Smaug goes down.
The battle of the 12 endings.
It took the battle of 12 endings. It took all of my energy not to stand up in the theater after Smaug went down. I'm like, well, see you guys.
I was like, that was pretty short.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, no, because I was seriously like, okay, that just happened and it was pretty cool. For me, that was by far the best part of the movie was the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my, you know, I didn't look at my watch, figuratively looked at my watch, and I was like, I'm going to be here for another 3 hours.
I mean, even in the book, the Battle of Five Armies is a pretty huge part of the book.
Yes. I read it a long time ago. I don't remember that, but
did you
I
see the animated movie? Because that also does a pretty good job of explaining it.
It's been a while.
Well, yep. To be sure, Return of the King can stand on its own as a watch-alone movie, whereas this one, for sure, you have to see the first two movies.
Totally
to really get. And there's nothing at risk here except for like a small bauble, right? Like in a way. It's not symbolic like Lord of the Rings where that bauble can like end all.
Well, I mean, the idea being is that in this case, so the dwarves have the castle now and they got all the gold. Where's the Arkenstone, the big one? And now Thorin is pulling a Frodo towards the end of Fellowship of the Ring where he's like, the greed, it's overcoming me. The evil, in this case, it's dragon
disease.
Thorin
or Peter Jackson?
And he's not willing to pay out any of the debts he agreed to with everyone. Hey, here's that gold I said I'd give you for helping us out earlier. What? I'm not going to give you that gold. Fuck you. And armies are amassing of different sorts coming there to try and claim the shit that they want. There's elves, there's dwarves, there's humans. There's, of course, Gandalf being the only one who realizes after a brief, this wasn't in the books, but it's going to look cool, so we'll put it here anyway, sequence. Shit, there's orcs on the way too, because otherwise it's going to be kind of a weird way to wrap it up with all the good guys killing each other.
I think that there's definitely a moment in the film where when you see the four armies, you start going, okay, one, two, three, one.
I was totally doing that.
In the original story, the fifth army is the eagles.
Right.
And I think that there's really no way that with the way they treat the eagles, even by throwing a whole wizard storyline into it,
right,
that any audience is going to buy that's the fifth army.
Especially
because there's like seven
up.
Of them.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, they do more damage than all the rest of the armies combined.
I mean, that's the thing. They really
clean up the mess.
But I think they need to leave some ambiguity as to which is the real fifth army.
The Eagles coming in reminds me of like the old joke from Saturday Night Lives where the guy goes, which do you think would be more dangerous, an elephant or a shark? So you'd probably say a shark, or maybe you'd say an elephant. Either way, you'd be wrong because it's a shark riding on an elephant.
Right, totally.
And here it's like it's giant eagles carrying giant bears.
Yeah.
They're
that
dropping
pretty,
like bombs on
armies.
Cool. Yeah, I like that. Like,
seriously?
It's like, yeah, he changes like midair. It's like, okay.
But he still manages to land, which is because bears always land on their feet.
Is that a bear thing?
Yeah.
I just wanted to see him eat things for a while.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was. I wish they would have given him more count.
Yeah, the bear got like about 2 seconds of on-screen time.
Yeah.
Just enough to go make people go, holy shit, they're dropping giant bears on
It's the guy from the first movie.
Was it supposed to be?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's a shapeshifter.
In the end credits, he got his own painting. And I was like, oh, he was even in this movie?
That's the amount of screen time that he got from me was he got enough screen time for me to go, who's that guy falling? Why is there a bear? Oh, right, first movie.
Yeah,
and then that's it.
Yeah, and then he has a little painting in the end credits, and I was like, he gets a little painting.
Well, but no, he's not getting a
face.
Painting for the third movie. He's getting a painting for his role
right,
in the trilogy.
But still,
these are the final credits.
I literally didn't even see him turn into a bear. Like, I just saw a bear.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I didn't
all
even
I saw.
See him at first before he turned into a bear.
It's him and one of the Shire folk are going to get the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
I think it should be him and Smaug.
Him and Smaug afterwards?
Yeah.
But Smaug's already dead.
Prequel.
Another prequel?
Double prequel.
Your double prequel.
The Origin of Smaug. I would actually watch that.
So Smaug's in high school.
I'm curious, those of you guys who like really enjoyed it, like tell me what it was in here that really did work for you. I had a real hard time even getting through this movie. What was working?
I mean, I will say, like, a lot of this is bias. A huge Tolkien fan of this universe and world building. And I don't think there's any problem at all in that way with this entire series. I mean, it just keeps expanding this really cool world that sometimes has little bits of silliness in it, but ultimately pretty good. And two, like, Jackson and Co. know how to film extended battle sequences and make them fun. I mean, this is manages to be fun most of the way through, and I think even more so than the previous two films, there is a more interesting, like, emotional battle going on here with Thorin sort of turning to Dark and, like, everyone else going, why are you being such a dick, dude? And everybody's kind of turning on everybody else. It's more interesting behind the scenes on that level. And if that becomes boring to you, don't worry. Someone's about to get stabbed.
Sure.
Yeah, someone's going to fight for 5 minutes. It's going to be awesome.
And then the dad from How to Train Your Dragon is going to show up all of a sudden.
Right.
These movies do have a good way of extending the battle sequences in that this movie was 144 minutes long. Yeah, maybe the sequences could have been shorter, but when I go back and think about it, what would you really have cut out and not anything? Because it was all good.
I mean, do you think that the film was suffering from the length of the battle sequences, honestly? I think that if I were to pick the flaws of this movie, it certainly wouldn't be the
battle. From the battle sequences, no. I mean, from the scenes that are unnecessary, like the pipe thing that I mentioned earlier.
I think there's definitely something that can be said negatively for a movie that has to rely so heavily on the battle sequences to, like, be enjoyable. That there's not enough substance below the blatant action. And they try really hard, like I said, by first off, adding characters, and secondly, adding relationships between characters that don't exist in the original novel. And that's definitely in there to make the certain sects of the battle really compelling. But, I mean, and as far as performances go, I think that Martin Freeman nails it.
He's so great.
I think he's been nailing it, like, from the beginning of this. So just another thing for you, Ed, that I would say got me through it.
Oddly enough, the guy who starts off, like, having them play it as an exaggerated, kind of goofy hobbit becomes the only guy who seems to be taking the material seriously by the end of the story.
Totally true.
Yeah.
Even Gandalf seems at this point to just be like, can we wrap this up, please?
I love the movie.
Right.
I love the heart in it.
I don't feel the heart. There with you guys.
No.
Here's my thing. I do enjoy being in Middle Earth. So, like, as I'm watching it, there's this small part of me that's like, man, you know,
I wish I was somewhere else.
The set, I just sit back and go, oh, man, the art direction, the set design, all that stuff is beautiful, and it's even better than it was. That's the only thing to me that's better in this trilogy is just even bigger worlds and vistas and views and everything. But, like, for me, the principle of diminishing returns is, like, through the roof on this series. I've never, my interest in something has never just dropped off a cliff like it has with this. It's like every movie I'm like less and less interested in. I couldn't get engaged in any of the emotional stuff because I just know he's just writing these characters in. He's like, hey, let's have an emotional beat. We gotta have something emotional beat. And it feels so disingenuous.
Is it sort of like, why am I here? Like, why do they need to tell these extra stories in this great story?
Right. I mean, it's all in the shadow of the better trilogy, and it's just, you know, it's just all...
Well, I'll tell you why, because I want to see more. Like, I want to see... I could watch another 3 hours of what happens afterwards. I could sit with the elves forever. Like, I know that's the magic of these films for like, because I absolutely adored it. No, it wasn't as strong as Fellowship. It wasn't as strong as the first three, and even the first two of the Hobbit series, but I love these characters. I want to see what they do. I want to see their lives. And I think that's what it is for me, is that Peter Jackson is able to create relationships where you actually bond with the character instead of watching them from a third person. I personally feel that way, but maybe that's just my point of view.
And I can understand that, because, like, I'm kind of more with Ed in that I didn't read the books. I wasn't a huge Tolkien fan. These types of fantasy films in general aren't necessarily my bag, and so I never create that relationship with the characters. I can totally understand where you're coming from with that, but yeah, like, I'm kind of more with Ed in that I appreciate the technical marvel that these films are. It's just, I mean, yeah, you combine both franchises and you're at almost 24 hours of film. It's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess, and I'm with you, Diva, in terms of, like, yes, I would like to see more. I think it would have been good if they had handed over the reins to somebody else for this trilogy, because I think there is a degree of exhaustion showing with doing this. It just doesn't have that precise level of attention to the details. Like, the first one felt desperate to get everything right. Like, sure. We're not going to screw up anything. Every single thing in here, we're going to think it and overthink it, and it's like we're going to make sure that everybody's happy with this. And this one feels like, if anything, a degree of overconfidence in this series. It still works, but the seams are there now, mm-hmm. and the process is there. The idea of, like, the things that we associate with your generic big epic films are there, and we can see them clearly. And part of that is because of the sheer amount of inserted material. Yeah. Most of that feels very like scriptwriter 101 extra stuff in here. Like, all the stuff with, I thought in general, Tario. With Azog the Defiler throughout the whole series, every time it happens, you're like, and now here comes the sequence that a bunch of people wrote specifically for filler.
Here's the sequence that takes a single novel and turns it into three films.
Right.
And this character... They insert that character with the sole purpose of making it a trilogy.
Right.
Because, I mean, because I didn't read the source material until after I'd seen the first two. So for me, I was just really excited to see that animated movie from the 70s that I watched all the time as a kid get turned into a live action movie.
Right.
That's where I was on all of this.
I think as well, there's been a lot of criticism of that, like, every other previous adaptation of these films didn't feel the need to flesh out so thoroughly all of the dwarves.
Right.
It was like, we just don't need that, because the story, as it is, works better without that, mm-hmm. quite frankly. You're just dragging it on, a story that wasn't meant to be that big. With a lot of stuff, you're like, why should I care about these little stories? Why should I care about the cute dwarf's relationship with an elf more than this other big story of fighting a dragon and shit? Well, I don't.
But the demo.
Huh? Exactly.
They're trying to appeal to a different demo. I mean,
they are. That's another way in which you see those scenes getting involved.
Watching this movie, it reminded me a lot of whatever the fuck they're calling it these days. Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah,
because it's like Live, Die, Repeat now, and like that's a good movie. But I can see the gears moving in that movie. I can see exactly when the punch-up writers came in. I can see when they inserted a beat. And I'm starting to see the same thing in here, because, like, you said that one of the best things about these movies, I'm talking to Diva right now, you know, this does not work over radio.
I can't see him pointing at me, but he's pointing.
And I agree, you know, you do build a relationship with these characters. Like, my bro, the guy I was with, the one I was following was Bilbo. Because, like, he was an everyman. I was with him. But then the stuff with Tario falling in love with Gilly, I'm like, you just looked at him once.
Yeah.
Well, that, like, creates a connection between cross species. I mean, if you can't see... Because if you look at a dwarf, you can't really relate to a dwarf. They all, except for the one that falls in love, look different, right? They don't look like humans. They have kind of this comical, over-exaggerated features. And so it's hard to kind of relate to them as comrades, whereas the hobbits are so human. I mean, come on, we all love to eat, party, you know, drink and smoke. I mean, these people are...
The Shire is Austin, Texas.
And everyone has a wise old grandpa, and we get the wizards, and then the elves, that's what we want to be, right? It's like this perfect human. And so I think what it does is it creates... a relatability cross-species with characters that are completely different beings and allows you to hold on to them more and give them weight. But yeah, it is a technique, right? It's something that it's a textbook. This is how we get the audience to like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just what it's saying, obvious, though. Is that, like, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I mean, we see that in more films. There's so many movies we see that I call really good movies that, yes, you can see what they're doing. It wasn't so obvious in the first films as it is here. Now it feels like they're not trying as hard to keep the audience from seeing the manipulation for demographics.
But does that take anything from the movie?
Sure it does.
A little bit, because I can't believe... I just can't believe that Tariel's going to fall in love with Gilly from nowhere. It's just, he's in prison and he looks at me a certain way and I'm in love. And then she's so in love that she's just...
I mean, that was admittedly there to be for the romantics in the crowd, of which Elliot is clearly not
right there.
Your idea of romance is taking a girl out to play a paintball, okay?
No, I'm going
to
say, based on my listening to the show, that Elliot is a romantic. I'll stick up for you.
Oh, fair enough. That's true. He is usually the one guy who might like the romantic comedy.
Yeah, totally.
But I didn't find any of that terribly troubling that we've discussed so far. I mean, nothing I've said so far did I really find where it was taking me out of the movie. What did was, in this particular nonstop action sequence, there were quite a few moments that I was like, come on! like Legolas being able to walk on blocks that had nothing supporting them at all.
When he became Mario?
Yeah, when he became Mario.
Pure misery.
It was like, you know, I've even seen questions from like science panels that like science podcasts were like, if you were like falling on something and something big was coming next to you, could you like stand on that and push off to relieve
their questions are never directly referring to an elf.
Right.
Also, did you believe that a bat could carry an elf upside down?
I did believe that.
Okay, so then what's...
Giant bat.
Doesn't matter.
And to be fair,
people are a lot heavier than bats.
And there's a lot of little silly...
And
like,
an elf can walk on
to...
snow.
See?
Come on.
That's my
point. They're different. Exactly. They're not people.
Like, when people in the audience actually cheered at that moment that we're talking about, the Super Mario Brothers moment, I was like, those people are excited because, like, an elf can, you know, technically do that. I think this is stupid.
That was really dumb. Taking it one step too far.
Yeah, I was like, I can like when he was walking on snow in the first trilogy, I was like,
I
my mind was
this.
Blowing when he was walking on snow
it was
I was like, no way, absolutely not.
And well, I mean, just because physics doesn't work that way, no matter what your superpower is.
Right.
Galadriel's feet look perfectly pedicured, and she's going around barefoot in like the disgusting. Whatever that castle
was,
because I don't remember the name.
She's super...
She's an ethereal
being.
Are you guys serious?
She's super sort of dark elf,
sort of
good elf.
But see, you take that, you're like, that's okay. Because she's a hot chick. But like, Legolas running up...
Legolas isn't the Legolas he was.
I was kind of disappointed that like they've insinuated that something happened between Galadriel Gandalf at one point, and you're like, they're gonna totally make out. There's a little
high school prequel.
There's a little nod. Yeah, there's room to do a prequel
totally
with some young hot guy playing Gandalf.
Rivendell,
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I don't believe he's been in these films yet. So there you go.
He doesn't look enough like Orlando Bloom.
But another troubling thing to me is like in the finale of the Thorin Azog subplot here.
With the two Loki.
There's that point where you're like, okay, so you won. Time to just go about. There's other shit that needs your attention. But like, no, we need to get to this last plot point, so we're going to keep going with it. So like, I was just sitting there going, why did you do that? doesn't even make sense.
So
just
painful.
Move on.
It was painful.
I was very painful to watch. I was like, ah, you had me. I mean, it was like a great ending
it was
to
an
that
awesome,
sequence.
Awesome.
And then they were like, no, we got to keep going a little bit.
And then
it
ended four more times.
Yeah, exactly. there's lots of little things like that. And like I said, the Eagles thing where I was just like, I know they're in the book, but it's handled very differently in the book. Here, it's like a. We need to, like, find a way to make it so it makes sense that the good guys win. And they're just like, here comes the unstoppable juggernauts, who we probably should have called a while ago.
Yeah,
it does kind of spawn that joke, because when it happens in this movie, you'd think they would have said to themselves, you know, we should keep these eagles around in case we might need them.
In case we might need them, yeah. Keep them on your speed dial. Or speed moth,
guys,
I guess.
Stay close.
Oh, man.
Keep them on your speed moth. I see you got that one.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I said, now I've been bitching, but the truth is I did actually have more fun than I didn't. There's lots of great action sequences in this. You have to suspend your disbelief that orcs are made out of gelatin, but because like serving wenches can take out four or five by turning around too fast.
And that's one of my
but,
dude, they churn a lot of butter. They're strong.
They do. They yeah, good point. A valid point. they all look pretty swarthy.
Orcs are definitely more about numbers than battle.
True. I mean,
skills.
Even in Dungeons & Dragons, that's the case, you know? There's a point where, like, they're like, oh, it's 100 goblins, and two guys are like, yeah, don't worry about it, we got it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Seriously?
That's the problem.
They've got low HP. Have low HP.
I was like, what level are you guys?
And to be fair, these orcs were not the Uruk-hai, right?
No, they were not.
True.
I mean, the Uruk-hai, when they appear... are massive dicks and they're hard to take out. But there's like three of them, so everybody else is pretty much like Like I said, made of peanut butter or something. They're wearing cardboard armor, apparently.
Well, that's the thing, though, but seeing that, when there's a scene where two people can take on literally 100 enemies, it takes me out of it. I'm like, you couldn't have maybe 50.
Right.
20.
I mean,
but 100?
You think about that in terms of, like, The Walking Dead, zombie movies. Like, yeah, they're slow moving and they're not that strong, but like, even a big dude is going to get taken down with 100 of them are coming at him at
just
once.
Just rush them all at once. Yeah.
Just saying. Know. Goblins don't have the I'm too stupid to remember to, like, not walk into spears thing.
Yeah, so. Right.
Well, and there's a point where, like, Bilbo gets, like, just knocked, like, just basically his head should have been caved in. And I'm like, okay, so you got plot armor on. That's great. That's the strongest armor in these trilogies.
There's a lot of good stuff here, though. Like, Benedict Cumberbatch, once again, his sequence in Smaug really is good in here.
Yeah.
There, the whole ending of Smaug thing is really scary. Like, they nail that whole sequence. It's too short is the only bad thing I can say about it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you could have spent 40 minutes of this film with Smaug, and I would have been really happy.
The only time I'll agree with you when you said something maybe was possibly too short.
Richard Armitage as Thorin, I think, really nails the sort of turning to greed, to darkness, even though it does have those shadows of the stuff we saw in Return of the King with Frodo doing the same thing. There's a lot of that throughout the series of sort of like, oh, we need to balance something that happened in the first film, and that's the big thing for this one that's happening. But he does a terrific job in it. Orlando Bloom looks like he's got a ton of CG makeup on, and when you see him, he doesn't have many wrinkles, so I'm not sure why they bothered.
That was when I see it, I was like, the first two movies didn't make me think to myself they overdid it with the reverse aging effects on Orlando Bloom. This one looks like they did.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. Even Lee Pace as well looked like they totally covered him with a layer, a skein.
So did
of
Billy,
CG.
Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly, who has a great appearance as a dwarf warlord. The moment you hear his voice, if you know Billy Connolly, you're like, Billy Connolly!
But the character looked like something more like in place and like brave than...
Yeah, like How to Train Your Dragon of Brave.
It did not look human. He was 100% computer animated,
right?
He totally was.
I mean, it was computer-generated around the
That was computer-generated character?
It was super weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it.
It was never good.
It was seamless for me. I didn't even know that until just now.
It totally took me out so hard. I was like, why didn't they just put an actor there?
I thought it was an
actor. But his mount was amazing.
Yeah.
A hog. Giant hog mount.
I feel like Arkansas fans were like, yeah!
Well, is that an Arkansas thing? Is that the
Razorbacks? The Razorbacks.
Yeah, there was...
Hey, I knew that much.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Arkansas pig.
Where did the ghosts come from?
The rams?
Yeah, what happened?
They're dwarven steeds as well.
Oh.
Yeah. You get that mount at level 40.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade.
Well, that's a World of Warcraft mount, I think.
Yeah. I just was like, wait.
Yeah,
that moment. That did pull me out a little bit.
Yeah, you don't see him earlier, but it took me a second too. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, oh, yeah, those would be dwarven because they're mountain type creatures, like mountain goats. I was like,
but
okay.
Also, the writers are like, how are the dwarves going to get up there? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Goats.
Yeah, the eagles aren't here yet.
Somebody's like, hey, guys, I got the eagles on my cell phone. Shut up.
It would have ended the movie way sooner if the eagles did that twice.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's like this whole series would be like 10 minutes long.
Sure.
Like, of all six movies. Like, hey, we need to get everybody there.
The eagles are really helpful.
They could have taken out Smaug, for Christ's sakes, you know?
They're easily
as big as Smaug, and there was like 7 or 8 of them. You're like, just reach in there and grab the little sore spot. Like, no problem. End of story. So you have that for the whole first three films, 10 minutes. Second three films, we gotta get this to Mordor. Hey, I got an idea.
The last film is just one big Shire kegger.
Yeah.
You're just like, exactly. Okay, I could watch this. Well, I would watch that entire movie.
For some reason, the Ewoks celebrating just popped up in my head, so we have to come up with an alternate plan. Jump. All right, let's go to final thoughts and start thoughts. The final thoughts. I want you to take these two bleeds and shove them up your nose. JC.
Well, kind of like I said earlier, these type of movies aren't necessarily my bag, and I kind of got everything I expected. It's not to say I didn't like it. I enjoyed a lot of it. Some parts of it were just kind of silly, I haven't read the book, and I know at some point when you're going to have multiple battles army, they are going to, you know, introduce themselves at one point. I just wish it was less like the battles in Anchorman. It's all like, we're the Mexican channel and we're the Channel 5. So if it was less like that, I would have appreciated it more. But I still liked it. The technical marvel in that these movies are is amazing. I give it a solid 6 out of 10 armies.
Sure.
Yeah, I have nothing.
The battle of the 6 out of 10 armies.
Yeah.
Elliot.
Yeah, I enjoyed this pretty moderately. It's not, here's the thing. For me, watching the Hobbit movies, for me to enjoy them, I have to go back and watch them a few more times. Because, like, I didn't enjoy the first two, but then my family was watching the Hobbit movies over Thanksgiving. And I sat down and just not having that expectation really, like, upped a few points just out of 10. Like, it went from, like, a 5 to a 9. So, keeping that in mind, I like the action set pieces. I like the performances. I mean, Bilbo alone makes me like this movie. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 breakfasts.
Breakfasts?
Oh, yeah. Hobbit breakfasts.
Oh, right. Little Lembas bread.
Yeah, the first one is at IHOP. Those the second one is at Kirby. The third one is at Jim's.
Yes, but they ate a lot of those and talked about it quite a bit in the first series. Like, would you like some more Lembas bread?
You just have some and you're like,
oh, know at the Hobbit buffet there's like a lot of Lembas bread.
There's a lot of sausage.
There's a lot of sausage. The Hobbit Shire in general seems like kind of a sausage party, but...
I don't know how I made it to 111th with that diet. I mean, seriously, it's like... First breakfast is, second breakfast is crispy bacon.
They have bypasses every 10 years.
It's all protein diet, you know. It's one of those.
It's the Hobbit physiology. It's unique. They store it in their feet.
It's just like fat. They're like camels.
Ed?
All right. Well, I am also a huge fan of the books. It's been a while since I've read The Hobbit. But I'm a huge fan of the books.
I do tend to reread the Lord of the Rings more than The Hobbit.
Yeah,
myself.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm a huge fan of the original trilogy. And this movie, I've never in my life had an experience like this where my interest has dropped off just like precipitously. Like, oh my gosh. I think
I'm picturing like the eagles catching you on your
Yeah. They would have caught me if we had done like, you know, one really, I can't wait for the fan edit of this movie that's like a good 3 hour long movie of all three. And it's like sweet. but I think maybe part of where I kind of drop off from you guys, like I want to be in Middle Earth. You know what I mean? And there is this the part of me that enjoys these is, like I said, the real nuts and bolts of it, like the knowing that there's like an army of Kiwis like building armor and building like houses at odd angles and cool villages and stuff. I love all that stuff still, but I think I trusted in the original trilogy that I was getting a lot of like Tolkien lore, and I think in this trilogy I just feel like I'm getting Jackson lore. I feel like it's just Peter Jackson just spinning his wheels because the studio asked him to. And I just don't believe that this is, like, further peeling back layers of Middle Earth. I just do not buy it, and I just can't. It so distances me from the enjoyment of these movies.
You killed Tinkerbell!
Something along those lines.
He had it coming.
And my other last thought is just, if you're going to call it The Hobbit, I need to see some Hobbit, man. Like, Martin Freeman, as much as he's awesome, and I agree with you guys that he's, like, a great through line of these movies, I feel like he was in, like, 20 minutes of this 3 hour long film. And what he does is not very integral to the battles and stuff. He just kind of puts a ring on and runs around invisibly. Like, he doesn't do that much to me. And I'm like, man, this movie's called The Hobbit. Well, I want to see this guy. He did stand there, too. Yeah, he did.
Wait, so I just stand here?
Yeah.
He put a ring on it.
So, I really wanted to like this. And I just can't say I did. If JC gave it a 6. I guess I have to go, like, 4 out of 10 minutes that Bilbo was in the movie.
Diva.
Well, I'm sure everyone's figured out that I liked it, but it's true. I mean, it's not as strong as the others, so I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it 8 mithril vests. Ooh. Out of 10 because of the spectacle. Because I liked it. Because it's fun. Because it's beautiful.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm giving it.
Michael?
I feel like the original trilogy and this trilogy have a huge disparity, and it's because this trilogy was made after the Harry Potter Twilight thing happened, which takes the fantasy genre and immediately goes, how do we appeal to little 14-year-old girls with this?
True.
So we need a hot dwarf. Two hot dwarves.
The formula has started to become...
I couldn't tell.
I'm a fact checker. I'm just going to let you know.
There's a corporate formula now
right.
that even for a director like Peter Jackson, it's hard to say, no, I won't do that.
Right. Anymore. Well, and I mean, that is where if you want your fantasy film to get, you know, box office success, you have to appeal to that audience now. That's right. Where that lives in blockbuster cinema. And I love Peter Jackson. I will go see Peter Jackson movies until the day I die, even though I'm learning slowly to accept that they won't be that they won't be dead alive. Mm-hmm. That there won't be another Dead Alive.
Although he has actually said that a small budget horror film might be in his immediate future.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
We saw that work out with Sam Raimi.
Yeah, right. there's a part of, I've seen. I mean, I love Peter Jackson as a director. I love him as a person. I think that what he has managed to do with a franchise that really has no business being this popular in cinema is incredibly impressive, and more props to him. This film specifically, probably, I mean, definitely one of the weaker entries into this trilogy, if not the whole franchise from start to finish. But like I said, I think that that what it lacks in substance and what it lacks in all the things that make a good movie good, it makes up for in making that battle something that you can title the movie after.
Mm.
I mean, if you're going to call the movie The Battle of the Five Armies, so actually, go with what you were saying, Ed, the movie's called The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, and I feel like we got one of those two things. And I agree, I feel like Martin Freeman was shortchanged throughout the whole movie, And I liked the fighting. I liked it better than Return of the King. I preferred this film to the war in Return of the King. But it wasn't a perfect movie, so I'm going to give it... I will also give it a 6 out of 10... 6 out of 10 ice battles.
I think I'm probably... Like, I mean, whereas I agree with most of you guys' points... I'm with even more in the terms of, like, that enthusiasm still just shines through for me for this world. I still love the world building. I still love seeing whatever's going to happen in here. And I think if it wasn't for the high level we've set for these films, that this would be much more accepted as the thoroughly enjoyable big epic fantasy film. I mean, if it wasn't for the first trilogy, we would have looked at this going, yeah, it's not perfect, but goddamn, it's fucking fun anyway. I had a lot of fucking fun, despite all the things that I am admittedly to some degree nitpicking about this series. It is a lot of fun. There are a lot of good performances, but it's not a great translation of The Hobbit. It's the weakest translation yet of The Hobbit, I'd say safely. And I feel like everyone here watched and rewatched and rewatched the original trilogy, and nobody turned on Game of Thrones. And I feel like, okay, that's what we learned next degree of fantasy storytelling after Lord of the Rings was like, okay, now let's try something different. Now let's evolve, learning the next level of evolving characters and story in fantasy filmed. Nobody watched that series making these new movies. And I feel we as an audience have become more sophisticated with what we want out of epic fantasy as well because of it. That's a large part of the criticism that's going on here. I still have lots of squee moments seeing Hugo Weaving show up as Elrond and kick ass.
Oh,
seeing Galadriel turn into dark fuck off Galadriel and like making even Sauron go yipe 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 was fucking awesome. I mean, there's a lot of really cool points in here. Orlando Bloom when he kicks ass is assuming that's actually Orlando Bloom and not some dude with a CG mask on because it's hard to tell. Is still pretty cool. There's a lot of stuff to like. I wish this could have been what it should have been. And I'm still going to give it 8 out of 10 rings given to film critics. Because we should have gotten some rings, too. Sure. Right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm sure Peter Jackson thinks we've all turned evil.
Yeah.